Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Data Analytics webinar. My name is Sterling Miller. I'm the CEO and Senior Counsel for Hilgers-Graben. I'm also a three-time General Counsel, and I write the blog 10 Things You Need to Know as In-House Counsel. And as I mentioned, today we're going to talk about data analytics. And here is our agenda for today. I know it looks like a lot, but trust me, we're going to get through this fairly quickly, and hopefully it's all going to be pretty interesting. So we're going to talk about what data analytics is, why it's important, how you get started, how you come up with things to measure, what you can do with all those measurements and all that data. If there's a role for legal operations, we'll talk a little bit about dashboards, and then we'll wrap it up with talking about some additional resources that you can check out. And if you want to, ways to get a hold of me if you have further questions. So let's kick this off. And what I like to call the data analytics problem is the conundrum. So what's the conundrum? Well, as we go a little bit more in depth here, legal departments for years have been plagued with one question, and that's how are we doing? And that question might come from within the legal department, or it might come from outside the legal department. So the CEO or the CFO, like, how are you guys doing? What are we doing with this? How are we doing with that? And while it appears to be a very simple question, it's really quite complex because it can mean a number of different things. Like, how are we doing against budget? How are we doing with turning contracts? How are we doing with litigation spend? Or how are we doing with compliance? There's all these different questions that swirl around that very simple question of how are we doing? And regardless of the what, so what the question is, another problem that has plagued legal departments for years is the how. How do you answer that question? And for the longest time, myself included, you answered that question with a lot of gut instinct. Here's what I think. Here's what it feels like. Here's my best guess, which are all fine. But the reason legal departments were doing that is because they lacked the data to measure and answer the question from a quantitative standpoint. So lots of things were left to hunches, lots of things were left to guesses. And because of that, what you saw over time is while other parts of the business were using numbers to measure, to report, to get a sense for how they were doing, legal wasn't. Legal was special. Legal was excused from having to do that. And what we've seen now is not anymore, or what I call the reckoning. And what businesses are expecting today from their legal departments are that they are going to work with data, they're going to report out with data, and they're going to do things the same way that the rest of the business has been operating for years. And what that means, and what that means now, is that data analytics is a priority for in-house lawyers and for legal departments. So I assume that's probably why you're interested in this webinar and why this topic is so important. So let's shift and start with the basics, right? What is data analytics? Well, data analytics is simply the process of creating and categorizing and examining data sets and taking that information, and you're going to draw inferences and conclusions from the data. Or more simply put, what does this data tell me? What can I do with this data? And what you do with that data is you use it to make better and more informed decisions, or on the other side, to increase the operational efficiency of the legal department. Those numbers may tell you where things are inefficient and point out where there's a problem, and that allows you to focus in on that problem and tackle it and hopefully make things go faster, make things go smoother. And for legal departments, this cuts across a wide swath of issues, from budgets to litigation outcomes to how we handle contracts, et cetera. And that is why it's so important that in-house lawyers understand data analytics and are starting to use them. If they haven't started already, now is the time to do it. Or if you are using data analytics, you know, is it time to up your game? So why is it so important, right? We ask that question all the time as lawyers. Why is this important? Well, it's never been more urgent, as I was alluding to. I think businesses are getting impatient with legal departments that don't rely on numbers when they report out. And because so many decisions in the past were made on hunches and on guesses on who you knew at the law firm or who at the law firm knew someone in the legal department, you can now see how appealing it is to start to make decisions based on numbers. It takes the emotion out, it takes the guesswork out. There's still a little bit, but it makes things much cleaner and it makes the analysis that much better. Because if you can get that visibility and if you can get that insight into the why, what the numbers are telling you, now you have something actionable that you can actually either set up maybe as a KPI or as a goal or something that needs attention. So it gives you insight and clues as to what needs to happen and what you should be doing next. If you couple that with just making better decisions generally, now you truly start to see why it's so important that legal departments are starting to operate like the rest of the business, and why there's so much increasing demand for lawyers for data analytics. There's almost a thirst out there for, well, what is it, and then what can I do with it, and how do I get data? We're going to talk about that in just a couple slides. And that all goes back to what I think is a real fundamental question here about data analytics and in-house lawyers. And that is, in-house lawyers need to understand that the language of business is numbers. And if you're not speaking the language, you're losing. You're a tourist, you're just passing through. But if you understand the language and you can talk the language, talk the talk, which is what data analytics allows you to do, you become far more ingrained in the business. You become much more of a strategic partner to the business. You become much more of what the business wants from their in-house legal department, which is not a bunch of lawyers, but a bunch of lawyers who understand the business and are true partners in how the business operates and how the business can be made better or how risks can be avoided. And that's what data analytics allows you to do. It also allows you, because you're speaking the language of the business, so now you can talk in ways that the business understands. One of the best tools that I ever started using when I was general counsel was a decision tree. Now, if you've ever used a decision tree, you know it has a lot of lines and percentages. Well, if this happens, there's a 40% chance of this and a 60% chance of that. And it walks you through until you get a bunch of outcomes, and you can pick the most favorable outcome, the best outcome, whatever outcome you want based on whatever the factors are. The interesting thing about a decision tree is it's really no better than you sitting in a room saying, I think, I'm guessing, this is a hunch, because that in essence is what it is. But it looks like something the business is familiar with. It's talking about things in numbers, it's distilling things down into kind of black and white, which is what the business really wants to see. So if you can talk that talk, what you say is going to become much more acceptable to the business than versus, oh, well, they're the lawyers, you know, it's 50% this or 50% that. It just looks different and it has a different cachet with the business. And if you can talk the talk, and you can show that you're using data analytics and numbers, you're going to get a much longer leash from the business to operate on versus what you may face if they don't think you're truly versed in how numbers are important and why numbers are important to the business. Okay, so lots of stuff there, right? You got to unpack a lot of this. How do we start? Well, the core of data analytics, no shock, is the data, right? So you've got to figure out and identify all the different data sources that you have available to you at the company. And this is something you might initially think, oh my God, I don't even know where to start. Not true. Lawyers tend to already have that natural curiosity, that ability to distill lots of different bits and pieces of information around them, go dig, be a detective, pull that stuff out, just use those natural lawyer powers You're just focusing them differently, right? So here you're going to be looking for data. What data is out there? What data can I find? What data can I use that would be helpful to me and to the legal department? And what you try to do is you try to find every piece of data that you can. Now you're not, it's not going to be perfect, but don't just stop at the very first, oh, here's a pile of data, or here's a spreadsheet. Really take the task to heart and go digging around, just like you would if you were investigating a potential piece of litigation or you were analyzing a contract. All those skills you're just bringing to bear here. So the first place you start is figuring out what data sources you have. And where do you get that, right? It's easy for me to sit here and tell you, oh, you've got to go, find the data. So where do I mine that data? Where am I going to go and obtain that? So here are some places. Probably the easiest place for most legal departments is your electronic billing system. And if you don't have an electronic billing system, then you have all those invoices. There's an amazing amount of data in the bills that you get from your outside counsel or your outside vendors. There's numbers, there's information that's tied to the numbers. All that information can be extracted in some way and provide a really great starting point for data analytics. If you have a matter management system, so you're tracking all the different matters in the legal department, if that matter management system is electronic, then you probably have a lot of information. You can probably generate reports. You can probably slice and dice that information in a lot of different ways. Even if it's not electronic, if you're just using paper, there's still information that you can extract from that list of here's all the projects, here's all the litigation matters, here's all the contract matters. Maybe you've listed them by the value of the litigation or the value of the contract. All that information is valuable. All that information is useful data. There may be some reports that you generate out of the legal department regularly. Budget reports or other types of reports. That's another great starting point for finding data. You may have some tools like LexisNexis or other tools that have data that you can access. You just have to go in and explore. You may even need to call, your rep at whatever source you're using and go, do you have any data that would be useful for me to do whatever it is you're trying to do? Don't leave that source of data untapped. There's also lots of free data out there. Just Google whatever you're thinking about and see what sources are out there. You can also buy data. You can just Google purchase data for X. You'd be surprised, I suspect, at how much data is available, not only free, but for you to buy. And sometimes there's benchmarking data out there. Benchmarking data is great. Benchmarking is a science. We could probably do a whole nother webinar just on benchmarking, but let's just say that if you can find benchmarks, that is valuable data, good or bad, that you can use in your data analytics. The government has a lot of data. Most of it is free. In fact, almost all of it is free. So that's another source to tap. And then lastly, your company as a whole probably has data that you've never thought about. And that may be a bad thing because you're going, oh my God, here's what we're doing with this data that I didn't know about. Put that to the side. Are there sources of data? Talk to your marketing team, talk to your finance team, talk to the IT team. What data do we have and can we get our hands on it? Because all of that together can be pooled. And then once you have it gathered, you can start to use it for your own purposes, for your own data analytics. Once you mine the data, now you have to categorize the data. And this part gets a little hard, I'll admit that. But there's really four ways that you can categorize data. And the first one is this data descriptive? So, is this data telling me what's happening? The second category is the data diagnostic? Is it telling me why it's happening? So, not just what's happening, but why is this going on? The third category is predictive data. So, is this data telling me what's likely to happen in the future? And then the last category is what I call prescriptive data. And that's telling you, well, I have all this data. Is it telling me what I need to do next? You should be able to, with all the different data flows that you have coming in, put it into one, maybe more, but at least one of those buckets. And once you get into a bucket, now you know what you can do with the data because it's either descriptive or diagnostic or whatever the case may be. If you're just starting, and I suspect most legal departments are just starting to get into data analytics, as I mentioned, I think the best source is going to be your billing system and your matter management system. So if time is precious, and I know it is, and you're just trying to get started, start with that low-hanging fruit, so to speak, pull that data in and use that to do your first attempts at data analytics. Start small, prove success, right? Don't try to tackle the Empire State Building of data analytics. Just figure out one or two questions that you can answer, run the analysis, see how it works, and then go from there, then build out from there. But it's that starting small point that not only makes it easier to get started, but it also just makes the whole task seem more manageable and less of a steep hill. So once you've gathered up your data, you've categorized your data, now you have to figure out, well, what is it that I want to measure? If I have this big pile of data here, what am I gonna do with it? Right? That's the next question. So here are some things that you need to be thinking about when you're deciding what you want to measure. The what is obviously the fundamental point of data analytics. So it's really important that you spend sufficient time thinking about, well, what is it that we want to measure? Why is this measurement going to be important? Now, it may be easy, it may be hard, depends on how your legal department operates, but your process is going to be the same no matter if it's hard or if it's easy or if you're very advanced in data analytics or if you're just starting. So first, what do I want to measure and why? Of my pile of data, what do I have that's relevant to this? Do I have to clean that data up? Sometimes that data may be unstructured or may have a lot of noise in it, and you're going to have to figure out, I'm going to have to extract just these pieces to make the analysis work. I need to run the analysis. I need to take that data. I need to do whatever it is that I'm trying to measure, and then look at the results and draw my conclusions, and then hopefully make better decisions, improved decisions based on the analysis of the data. Those are the five steps that you're going to follow pretty much regardless of where you are on the continuum of your ability to use data analytics. If you're a beginner, super seasoned, it's the same five steps. And there's also two lessons before we go forward. This is the perfect time to talk about these because they are really important. And I learned these the hard way, unfortunately, or fortunately, because I learned from them. And the first is perfection is overrated. So if you are trying to wait until you have the perfect amount of data, you have the perfect question, you have the perfect way to analyze, you will probably never get anywhere. As one of my former bosses used to say, perfection is sloth's best defense. So don't wait for perfection, just get started. And the second rule is any data will do. So we talked about a lot of different sources. Don't wait to find the mother lode of all perfect data. Just work with the data you have. Start there. Things will get better over time. It'll make more sense to you, and you'll find different ways to get the data that you need. But just don't wait for perfection. Don't wait for everything to be perfectly situated on your desk before you get started. Just go ahead, get your hands messy, dig in there, dig in that data, and you're going to find that not only is it interesting, it's actually kind of fun when you start to, catch on to how you can use this data, how you can start to do things with it. Okay, so we've got our data. We understand it's not perfect. We figured out some of the things that we want to measure, but how do you really figure out what you want to measure? Well, here are some common measurements. These are some things that other legal departments and that I have used in the past to try to figure out the best ways to use the big pile of data that I have in front of me. So It's literally endless if you think about it. If you just sit back and you think about all the things you may want to measure, you can measure. Wouldn't it be interesting if I could measure? You could probably spend hours and hours and hours coming up with a list if you had that much time and if you were so inclined to do it. And most people aren't, right? So here are some of the most common things that legal departments do to use the data to come up with measurements. Tends to focus on, are we spending effectively? Are we spending efficiently? How efficient is our outside counsel? How should we be structuring the legal budget? Is the workload distributed throughout the legal department in an effective way? And what are the turnaround times for different types of work within the legal department? These tend to be things that most legal departments have or can easily get data to measure. They tend to have a lot of value, not only to the legal department, but also to the business. And we'll talk about that in a few slides as well. And you know, they're fairly easy to measure, meaning the analysis isn't that complicated. It's pretty simple math at the end of the day. So those are some of the most common measurements. Here are some others that you can throw onto the pile. You can do a contract analysis. For example, which clauses of my standard contracts are the most negotiated? And what does that tell me? Does that tell me maybe I should be changing my upfront position on this clause because we're always negotiating it and we're always giving? That's a great insight if you can measure that. Litigation outcomes, does this tell me for this type of case, I generally settle and it's in this range. So I know if I can settle it for less than that, that's a good result. That's something that you can measure. That's an insight that you can get. Compliance. Can I use this data to tell me, you know, where there are potential problems from a compliance standpoint? Am I seeing an increase in calls to the hotline for this type of matter, or whatever the data, you know, may reveal? E-discovery, legal analysis. You know, if I have access, especially to artificial intelligence. I can review contracts and opponents' briefs, and I can pull insights out of that information. How am I doing versus the KPIs and the goals of the legal department? One of the most common uses of data analytics for legal teams. Benchmarking, we talked about whatever the C-suite wants you to measure. So if the CEO or the CFO says, you know, hey, Sterling, I really want you to report on this. Guess what? You're not going to blow off. That's right. That's whatever the CEO or the CFO wants you to measure. So if they have something, you're going to have to figure out, well, how can I measure this? How can I get the data? And sometimes, you know, you can even go to your outside lawyers and go, hey, do you guys have any data that might be helpful to me? Either here's some specific questions or just generally, is there any data that you can give me that you think might be useful? And you'll be surprised. Or maybe not, that your outside counsel will be A, eager to help you, and B, probably have some data that they can share with you that will give you some insights and present some real value. So, what do I do with all this, right? So, we got some measurements. We're measuring certain KPIs. We're looking at contracts. We got tons of data now laying around. What am I going to do with all of it? So, first, whatever you want, you know, don't be limited to what I'm telling you here today. You may have completely different uses or other needs. That's absolutely fine. You may hear of something. Someone may ask you for something. So first off, rule number one here on this is whatever you want to do with the data, that's fair game. We talked about the C-suite. We talked about KPIs. You know, can you use that data to drive better decisions? We talked about litigation. Can you use that to make better litigation decisions? Can you use that to drive productivity among the members of the legal team, right? Is this data telling me that I have some log jams over here? If I can figure out a way to free up that log jam, oh my gosh, all kinds of things will start to flow. That's a great use of data, both from a legal standpoint and an administrative standpoint. This next point, tell better stories to influence decision makers. So when it's budget time and you're in there making your pitch for why you need more resources, you can go in there and you can just talk to it, Or you can go in there and have numbers and graphs and charts, and you can explain why, if I can get one more head, I can free up all this value. I can do X, Y, and Z. Or if I can get this one piece of technology, here's something more that we can do. We can do 10% more contracts, which means, $10 million to the bottom line for a piece of software that costs $20,000. That's the kind of math that the business understands, and that's the power of what data analytics allows you to do. So telling those stories. And then, what I call predict the future. If you've ever been in a meeting where you're talking about litigation, the one thing they're going to want to know is, what are our chances of winning this case? And historically, lawyers or their outside counsel have sat in these meetings and said, well, I know this judge, I think it's this or I think it's that, and that's fine, and that will continue to happen. But the ability to use data analytics, and there is data available out there to analyze courts, to analyze specific judges, to analyze jurisdictions by types of cases, you can actually pull in data that says, well, with this judge, we know that she will grant summary judgment 75% of the time. That is incredibly powerful insight that changes that discussion from, well, here's what I think, to a more mathematical, we have a really good shot based on the math of winning this case at summary judgment. So those are some of the really powerful things that you can do when you get when you start to get good at, or even you just start to get the right types of data to use for your data analytics. Now, I talked about going for quick wins. So here's a couple of examples of that, right, to get you started. So, and these are ones that what I show you actually have used. So, develop some simple questions, things that you want to measure, get into just a rhythm of getting that data in, looking at the data, generating some insights, and using the insights. You just want to get used to how to do it. If you try to do everything at once, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to get confused, and you're going to feel this is futile. And I'm telling you, it's not. But to do it right, you really need to start small. And transparency is good. You may analyze that data and you may find some things out about the legal department that, quite frankly, you're not that excited about because they show that you're inefficient or you're not getting the best outcomes based on what the data tells you. And that's okay. Especially if no one outside of the legal department is asking you for that data, you can still run the analysis. Just keep the data and the analysis close. Now, of course, if someone asks you, you're gonna turn that data over, and that's fine. But if no one is asking you for it, then you can just use the data. You can try to fix the problem, and then at some point, you're gonna have a great story to tell. Well, we did some data analytics, we discovered a problem, and we fixed the problem. And you can refine those processes over time and to better understand, what is this data telling me and what do I need to do to fix that problem? Because rule number one, I think as an in-house lawyer, is you never go into a meeting, you never go to your bosses and say, there's a problem without having a potential solution that you're going to offer up. If you just bring them a problem, they're not going to be very happy, and you're quite frankly not being a very effective in-house lawyer. So if you can go in, even if the numbers are bad, so to speak, because look, everybody in the business, those data analytics are going to show something is a problem and they need to fix it. The important part is you've used the data analytics to identify the problem so it's not hidden, and you have a plan to deal with it. That's what's really important. That's where the quick wins can really go a long way to helping cement the use of data analytics within your legal department. So here's a couple of examples. Real easy one, right? You develop a KPI for you want to lower your average hourly rate for outside counsel by 5%. The simple way to do this, you go to your e-billing tool, your invoices, you gather up the total hours. You gather up all the outside legal spend and you divide. And that gives you the average hour cost per hour for your outside legal spend. So that's a number. That's the very beginnings of data analytics. And then you just do the math. Now, what you want to do is for whatever the next measurement period is, let's say it's the next 6 months or the next year, you're going to be gathering that information. You're going to be doing things as a department to try to lower the cost, right? You may hire different law firms, you may negotiate better deals, whatever the steps that you're taking, your goal is to lower it by 5%. You're going to run the same number at the end of the measurement period, doing exactly the same thing. Total hours, total spend, do the division. What's the difference? Average hourly rate to start was, let's say, $300. Average hourly rate to start now is $250. Wow, you met your goal. Or average hourly rate now is $325. Guess what? You didn't make your goal. But then you want to figure out, well, why? Was there something that happened? Was there a big case? Did the CEO of the board tell you had to use mega law firm X to do the work? There's lots of reasons why you may have missed the goal, but the numbers and the data are going to give you insight. But that is a really simple way of using data analytics to meet a KPI around legal spend. Another simple use, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is clauses in your standard contract templates that always are sticking points when you're negotiating with the other side. For whatever reason, and this is what you're going to be analyzing, this is where the contract negotiations kind of grind to a halt, and you're fighting over this all the time, and you're finding out, that typically you're giving and you're moving to the customer or the other side, the vendor's position on those clauses. So it goes back to a fundamental truth for all in-house legal departments, right? The business wants contracts done faster, especially when they're customer contracts. So that means money coming into the business. You can track those clauses. You can do this manually, or if you have a contract management tool, you can use the contract management tool to do the same thing. And you can pull the data, you can create a spreadsheet, a matrix, whatever form it is, showing you, clause number 7 is redlined 90% of the time, and clause number 3 is redlined 50% of the time, and clause 12 is never redlined, right? So that's giving you insights about your contracts. And that clause number 7, 90% of the time, now you can kind of drill in on, well, this one we're always spending time on. What is it about this clause that's causing us problems? Now, maybe that's just the way it is. That's the company's risk appetite, or that's what the company insists on from a terms of payment, or whatever the case may be. And you're not going to change. Or you may find, you know what? Our competitors have the same clause, but they have very different language. If we adopted that language, we would be more market-based, and let's see if that drives faster contract signing than what we're doing today. And again, you can track that from the beginning of the measurement period to the end of the measurement period. There's nothing that I just talked about that requires a pile of amazingly expensive or super secret or hard to get data. It's data that you already have in both of those examples. So those are simple examples of things that you can do today to start to use data analytics to get real insight, really helpful insight into how the department is operating, and things that you can do to make the department operate better. Now, if you're fortunate enough to have a legal operations person, there is a role for legal operations in data analytics. If first I'll say, if your department is bigger than just a handful of lawyers, you really need to make the case that a legal operations person is needed. If your lawyers are spending time creating spreadsheets and crunching numbers, that is not the highest and best use of the legal talent. And there, you probably need to make the case for why a legal operations person could pull that work off of the plates of the lawyers and allow the lawyers to focus on more productive, higher value work. So there's some data analytics right there. But if you're expected to run like any other part of the business, I guarantee you that other parts of the business have people who are focused on operations. That's what they do, because you need people who are professionals. And you need people who do it kind of as a just as part of their day-to-day work, as part of their job. So there's another argument to make that to do data analytics right in an in-house legal department, you really need to have a professional or team of professionals, depending on the size of the department, who are focusing on extracting that data, on analyzing that data, and helping the lawyers extract out of it the insights and the information that's most valuable. But if an operations person isn't in your future, that's okay. You can still, again, you can do it yourself. You may be able to borrow someone from finance or another department to help, or you may be able to bring someone in temporarily, at least to get you started, maybe get all the data crunched and put into a spreadsheet. And the company will say, well, we'll hire that person for 2 weeks or whatever the case may be, at least to get you started. There are other ways to do it versus just having a full-time legal operations person. The other thing that you should be thinking about are the use of dashboards. And I have sat through enough meetings in-house to have what I call dashboard envy. One of the things I was always impressed about was the marketing team or the sales team would come in and they would do presentations and they would have these amazingly cool PowerPoints with graphs and charts and colors and animation. And I thought, wow, that's really great. And I would always have really boring, very textual PowerPoints. There are ways that even the lawyers can have really slick PowerPoints, and that's by using a dashboard. And there are many tools that you can find that can help you do this. There are hyperlinks throughout this presentation, by the way, and you'll have a copy of this that you can click on that will take you deeper into different parts of the discussion. And here you can see there's a hyperlink to something called dashboard. But dashboards are great ways, a great way to summarize information and make it look cool. Here's an example of it not looking cool, right? So this is a very simple 2x2 dashboard where you're talking about in one box spend, in one box a summary of our commercial agreements, in another box some of the key matters and projects, and in another box here's our intellectual property, the number of patents we've gotten, whatever the measurement period is. So there are simple ways to do it, but you can certainly punch this up. If you look at this next slide here, slide 37. Depends on what information you want to gather and what information the C-suite wants, but even just Excel, you can create lots of really slick charts and graphs using Excel that already comes with your Office, or if you're using Google, Google Slides, it comes with your Office subscription there as well. There's programs like Tableau. If you're using PowerPoint, they have this designer button. If you've never used it, try it. If you press that designer button, it gives you all kinds of alternative takes on the slide that you've put together. It can make a very boring slide really slick. And there are some form templates. I put a website here, Infographia, which will already give you templates for dashboards that you can just plug your data into. So there's lots of ways to do this. You can also just go ask your marketing team or your finance team for some help. There's probably someone that they use to do all the graphs and charts, and you can take advantage of that. And I'm sure they'd be glad to help you. So as we're getting ready to bring it home, here are some resources that you can use as you wanna go forward. So the first two are organizations that focus on legal operations. There's CLOC, CLOC, which is one of the big two organizations. Data analytics is a core competency for its members. The website has lots of resources. If you become a member of CLOC, you're going to get access to all that. Same with the ACC, Association of Corporate Counsel. They have an entire group dedicated to legal operations. Lots of great resources available on their website if you're a member. There's this other website here, the Coalition of Technology Resources for Lawyers. Last time I checked, the analytics survey was from 2018. They may have an updated version now, but there's lots of that's free, so you can find that. Same with the Strategic Legal Technology blog. There's other places that you can go and get not only templates and information, but also resources on how to do it, how to make it look great, sources of data, etc. Of course, I'm going to toot my own horn here a little bit. So here are links to some of my blogs from the 10 things you need to know as in-house counsel, including the very first one, data analytics for in-house legal departments. That's what this presentation was based on YouTube. YouTube is an amazing resource for learning things because if you want to know how to make graphs and charts using Excel, just go to YouTube, type in graphs and charts on Excel. You will get back an amazing array of free videos of professors or professionals walking you through step by step. Here's how you do it. And you can do that with just about any piece of software. It's almost all free. And it's incredibly helpful. It's incredibly useful. And it's a great way to learn how to do things and take some of the fear factor out of it. And then lastly, as I mentioned, your company, you've probably seen people use data analytics. Sometimes they call it BI, business information. There may be a group within the company. Go talk to them. Buy them a coffee. Buy them lunch. Maybe just do a Zoom meeting with them now, because I know until the pandemic's over, that those first two may not be available. But get to know them and ask them to help you. And I, again, am willing to bet that they will be more than happy to show you some of the basics and help you figure out how to use data analytics in the legal department. So let's wrap it all up. And here's what you need to know. So it's kind of a no-brainer now, using data analytics. Not only will you get some deep insights into the operations of the department, you're going to be able to give better legal advice. And that's really, that operations part is important, but it's being able to give better advice, to give advice in a way that the business is more receptive, is really key and really important. And the second thing, again, can't emphasize this enough, start small, start simple, get the data that you have, do some simple things, and then start to grow from there. Don't try to tackle everything at once. But if you have some successes starting small, you're going to get really interested in it. It's going to become fun, actually. There may be others in the department who want to get involved and do it too. And you're going to find out that not only is it incredibly powerful, it's going to be incredibly helpful. And you're going to find that it's just really interesting and something that's going to pique your curiosity as an in-house lawyer. And with that, we're going to wrap up. And here is my contact information. So if you want to contact me offline, because this is recorded, I can't answer your questions in real time, but I would be happy to take any of your questions via email. And please check out the blog at 10things.net. And there's a couple books here that I've written among several other books. I encourage you to buy those or at least check those out as well. And with that, I'm going to sign off. I thank you for your attention. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for being here today.